hopefully pass grammar.
Is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I am absent from a lot of pictures taken in my seminary cohort when we were in St. Paul, Minnesota for intensive classes. Sometimes it is because I am the photographer capturing the moment, but more often it is because I was not there when the picture was taken. In my first year of seminary, I missed out on some of our communal events because I was too busy studying. In the other years, it is likely that I just didn't want to venture out in the snow and ice one more time that day to go to dinner. I missed out on the camaraderie. I missed out on the adventure. I missed out on seeing a friend fall and break her arm. Whenever there is a discussion of any of those experiences, I feel a bit left out, just as I feel left out when my sister talks about birthday parties and holiday dinners and other family gatherings that I've been unable to attend. Have you ever felt left out? Has there ever been a time when friends or family members have gone to a movie or out to dinner without you? Maybe they didn't invite you, or you saw the invitation too late, or you had somewhere else you had to be and just could not join them. Whatever the reason, they had an experience and you did not. What happens when they talk about it among themselves and you're an outsider because you were not there? How does that make you feel? In today's gospel lesson, the disciples are gathered on Easter evening in a locked room. They've heard Mary Magdalene tell of finding the stone rolled away from the empty tomb and her encounter with a man she thought was the gardener, the one she recognized only after he had called her by name. They've heard how Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved ran to the tomb and saw the stone rolled away and the linen cloths rolled up, but no body. So here they are, gathered together, with the door locked because they're afraid of the religious leaders. All except Thomas. We are not told why he's not present. Is he out on an errand? Has he resumed the life that he had before he had been called by Jesus? Is he the only one not afraid of death? Remember a few weeks ago when our gospel lesson was the raising of Lazarus? Lazarus and his sisters lived in Bethany in Judea. Jesus and his disciples had left Judea because some of the religious authorities wanted to stone him due to his teachings. When Jesus said he was going to Bethany, Thomas replied, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Maybe now that Jesus has been crucified, Thomas has more courage to face the prospect of death than the others. Whatever the reason may be, Thomas is not with the others in the locked room on this Easter evening. The disciples are trying to make sense out of what they've seen and heard. Jesus' predictions of his death, Peter's denial, Judas' betrayal, the crucifixion, the stories of the empty tomb, and Mary Magdalene's assertion that she's seen the Lord. They may be discussing their own doubts regarding the resurrection accounts and their own fears of what will happen next when Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his wounds, the scars on his hands left from the nails that had held him to the cross, the scar on his side from where the soldier had pierced him to make sure he was dead. They hear his words and see his wounds, and they recognize him and are filled with joy. Jesus speaks to them again, saying, "Peace be with you." To this greeting, he adds, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Then he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus breathes new life into them, just as God breathed life into the first humans. And just as God sent Jesus with a mission to the world, Jesus gives the disciples a mission to tell others the good news of the resurrection, the good news of reconciliation with God through the forgiveness of sins. And Thomas missed out. When Thomas shows up, the other disciples tell him, "We have seen the Lord. We had this awesome experience of seeing him. We know it was him because we saw the nail marks. We saw the place where the spear had been thrust into his side. He spoke to us. He is alive." And Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas is often called Doubting Thomas because of these words. But think about it. Didn't the others doubt until they had seen proof for themselves of the resurrection? What I hear in these words is hurt. Why did Jesus appear to the rest of them, but not to him? Didn't he spend the last 3 years following Jesus just like the rest of them? Why has he been left out? When I couple these words with Thomas's previous assertion, "Let us also go, that we may die with him," what I hear is pain and confusion and a strong desire to have the same experience that the other disciples had. A week later, the disciples were once again in the locked room, the last place that they had seen Jesus. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus appeared and said, "Peace be with you." Then he turned to Thomas and said, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Be not unbelieving, but believe." Jesus offered Thomas exactly what he had requested. Thomas responded, "My Lord and my God." Any doubts that Thomas had regarding the resurrection had been removed. Any need that he had for any proof that Jesus loved him just like he did the others is gone. And Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Immediately after that statement, we are told the purpose of John's gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These words are meant for us and for all to whom the gospel message has been passed down. They are echoed in what we heard in our second reading from 1 Peter, where Peter is writing to churches in the five Roman provinces in what is now Turkey. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We may long to see Jesus as the disciples did, to see him face to face, to see the scars he bore for us, to feel him breathe on us in these COVID times a breath that brings life, to have him bestow upon us a peace that the world cannot give, to hear him tell us directly how we are to engage in God's mission of reconciliation and restoration. We may not have the experience that the disciples did, but we have the words of faith that have been passed down to us. Scripture has been written so that we believe with eyes of faith what we cannot see with our physical eyes. In believing, we come to see that Jesus is the Messiah, and that in believing we receive the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. The testimony of those who encountered Jesus during his life and shortly after his resurrection has been preserved and passed on to the community of faith we call the church, and to this body of believers entrusted with the mission to be God's hands and feet in the world. Although the book of Acts records the travels of some of the disciples, it does not record what became of Thomas. Tradition states that Thomas traveled further than any of the other apostles, all the way to the southern part of India. Many churches in the Middle East and Southern Asia mention Thomas in their historical traditions as their founder. It is said that he died in India. Thomas believed, and he stepped out in faith to act upon that belief as he spread the message far beyond his homeland. Believe and see and say, as Thomas did, "My Lord and my God." Amen.